true to her skills as the, in the healing arts, Casey is a much better chime ringer than I am. Nice and solid there. Good morning, everybody. I'm Robin Crane. Welcome to the First Unitarian Church of Alton. I welcome you into this community of hope and transcendence. Here we seek wisdom beyond our own experience. And here we open our loving minds to the mystery of wonder and the moral imagination. Here we transcend the day-to-day of our lives to seek for truths both meaningful and sustaining. And here we seek to offer a loving message that provides wholeness in a very broken world. We are Unitarian Universalists. In the pulpit today is our member, Casey Luker. She will speak today about the inward grace of our bodies and vagal tone, which I had to look up on the web. I offer my welcome to you, and in particular to any of you who are first-time visitors. We invite you to fill out one of the visitor cards found in the back of your gray hymnal and place it in the offering plate or just give it to an usher. We'll then send you our church newsletter for the next 3 months to let you know about our programs and activities going on here at the church. We're glad you're here, and we hope to see you again on future Sundays or any of our other activities. We do have a nursery for infants and young children under the age of 4 years old. You can go through these doors out into the hallway, and it's the first room beyond the foyer. Our religious education program begins when we sing our children on their way to their classes, and it concludes about 11:15 a.m., when hopefully we are out of service and enjoying each other with coffee in the worker room in here. And at the front, we have a spirit chair, which includes activities for all ages, not just little kids. You are invited to go to the spirit chair at any time during the service to take an activity back to your seat. If you're one of those people who learns by listening but needs to keep your hands busy, that's a really good thing. Children and youth are encouraged to attend our religious education programs when we sing our children and youth to their classrooms later in the service. We welcome you into this home of community, spirit, justice, and grace.
I forgot I was going to do the announcements. Good morning. Two little announcements this morning. First, if you have asked for a name tag, we have quite a number of them out there on the desk. Please check the table in the fellowship hall. Name tags are laid there, and they are in alphabetical order. Second announcement, please join us tomorrow, Monday, February 27th, is the next meeting of our Healing Energy Group, 6:30 p.m. by the fireplace for guided meditation and just some delightful fellowship. It's always a good time. And now we start our service with a prelude by the lovely Nicole Robbins.
Thank you.
Thank you, Nicole. That was lovely. Our call to worship is from Ram Dass. We come together this morning to remind one another to rest for a moment on the forming edges of our lives, to resist that headlong tumble into the next moment until we claim for ourselves awareness and gratitude, taking the time to look into one another's faces and see their communion, the reflection of our own eyes. This house of laughter and silence, memory and hope, is hallowed by our presence together. Alex, can you please come forward and light the chalice for us while we say our chalice lighting words? And I need some help, and Casey's the one who knows it all.
You know I love it.
So Robbie, Ben, anybody else want to come up and help us do the motions?
You know it, Ben. All right, so we light
this chalice, symbol of Unitarian Universalism. May it remind us of the divine spark in all of creation, the power of love to heal what is broken, and to be grateful for life's blessings each day.
You might have to step up here, Alex. Good job. Thank you.
Please join me in repeating our church's mission statement. Outward reaching, inward seeking. We are creating and nurturing an intentional community that values acceptance, social justice, and the embodiment of UU principles. Come, let us question together. Our opening hymn is number 33, Sovereign and Transformative Grace. It's in the gray hymnal, and the words are up here. So please stand in body or in spirit as you are able. Oh, Nicole, would you play it through once? Because the melody, you may not be real familiar with the melody.
Nicely done, everyone. It's always good to try a new one. I haven't ever sang that one before, actually. So, our children's story today. Full disclosure, I managed to get the slides put in the system, but then my children spilled water all over the book. So I peeled the pages apart, but there's a spot in there you're going to notice it doesn't rhyme, because I took artistic license with a little bit of it. So I think you'll get the gist, though. So today's story is called The Hugging Tree, a story about resilience. On a bleak and lonely rock by a vast and mighty sea grew a lonely little tree where no tree should ever be. How she got there, no one knew. She sprouted stems and little leaves as any tiny seed will do. There's hardly any dirt for me, no forest breeze, no birds, no trees, but I will do the best I can to make this rock my home. Her tiny roots pushed day and night, and bit by bit, the rock gave way. A smidge, an inch, a foot or two, she grew and grew and grew. The ocean hugged the rocky shore. I like you near me, little tree. Let's keep each other company. Soft gold sunbeams kissed her crown warm as honey pouring down. At night, she raised her branches high to greet the moon up in the sky. I wax and wane, I ebb and flow, I cycle through from full to thin, and when I'm done, I start again. That's how life is, you know. One summer noon, a pair of loons landed on her canopy. A pretty tree, a sparkling sea. Shall we make this place our home and raise our baby chicks right here? The little tree warmed up with pride. She spread her branches high and wide. I'll be your home, she replied. And can you tell me if you've seen the forest where my family grew? We've built our nest in trees like you, quite far away from here. And so you blew many nights and many days. You flew on the wind, just like we do. They built their nest, they laid their eggs, and soon two baby chicks were born. Summer passed, and autumn too. The little tree turned red and gold. Then winter came with howling winds and cutting cold that broke through her bough. The loons flew south, the sea all ice, the rock all snow. The moon was lost in thunderclouds. Mighty cliff, hold me tight, don't let me blow away. Little tree, with all my might, I'll hold you close night and day. Storms will come and storms will go. At last the sun melted the snow, but the tree could not grow. The storm had torn her roots. The moon gazed down and softly said, sometimes we lose our way, but with some help we start again. That's how life is, you know. And soon a boy came running by, skipping stones into the ocean. When he saw the little tree, he touched the tiny, ragged roots. He shook his head and he said, I can bring you just what you need. I can help you, little tree. A tree can't hug a boy. It has no hands or arms, but it can hug you with its heart, and that is just as deep and warm. Every day the boy came back to the tree carrying pails of dirt. He planted flowers along her roots. For on a splendid summer day by the warm and bright blue sea, a great big hugging tree grows just where she was meant to be. Now every day new people stop to rest beneath the little tree and dream the things we all dream of, to love, to share, to give, to dare, to dream just where we are. And to this day they come. The Hugging Tree. And now let's sing our wonderful children to their classes. That's an old melody I remember from when I was raised a United Methodist. I bet you all remember that one too, don't you? Each week we take time to recognize the joys and sorrows and the celebrations and the struggles of our community. We do this by taking stone or stones from the bowls at the back as we enter, or from the bowl up here on the chancel. We allow those stones to bring us into awareness of those things most important in our lives through thought or meditation.
and we then place them in the cleansing waters of this community, which includes a little bit of water from our annual water communion. If you have joys, sorrows, celebrations, or struggles that you wish to recognize, you are invited to come forward down this aisle now in a ritual of joy and sorrow. Isn't it wonderful how Nicole manages to end her pieces just when we're finished? That takes real talent, guys. It's offering time. Our spiritual lives are filled up and our hearts are warmed by the giving of time, talents, love, comfort, and our many other human resources. We each receive from this church the opportunity to explore meaning, purpose, and value in our lives. How does the financial contribution that you make here reflect what you receive? How does our collective money transform those within and beyond our congregation's walls? This morning's offering will be most sincerely and gratefully received. May it be lovingly given.
Now, if you'll join me for a time of silent contemplation, prayerful meditation, whatever word fits best for you, I ask you if you feel comfortable to close your eyes. Get comfy in the pew, as comfy as you can possibly be in a pew. Become aware of your feet resting comfortably on the floor, and feel the pull of gravity on your feet. Feel the safety and security from the fact that no matter what, gravity is not changing. Barring some atmospheric catastrophe, we will be held to the earth. And if it suits you, think of this Earth Mother as holding you, sustaining you, and nourishing you. Now move your attention up from your feet to your ankles, legs, hips, and lower back. You can also feel this pull of gravity in your pelvic bowl. As you sit, make sure your bowl isn't spilling, so your pelvis should be right on your sits bones, the center of your gravity. Feel the gentle pull of gravity on these contents and allow them to settle even deeper. I want you to gently breathe and feel the expansion of your diaphragm, that large muscle that's associated with breathing. Check in to make sure your abdomen is extending and that you are belly breathing. Those little accessory muscles of your chest and neck are merely there to allow a fuller breath, not to do the heavy lifting. So feel the expansion of your belly as you breathe deeply. Let's take a deep breath together so your neighbor can hear you. First, exhale all the air out. So push it out with your abdomen muscles. Then together, let's that was very nice. Let's do another one. If you're having any pain anywhere, just acknowledge it and thank it for its helpful tip of where to focus that breath and go back to your belly breathing. The same way that your heart delivers this life-sustaining oxygen to every cell in your body throughout your cardiovascular system every minute of every day, we can also deliver thoughts and feelings. So breathe in with me the feeling of compassion. Breathe in love. Breathe in worthiness and peace. Breathe in grace. Now, the same way we exhale carbon dioxide as a byproduct of our body's process, let's breathe out some byproducts of our lives as humans on this planet. So we're breathing in love and compassion. And now let's breathe out some anger and resentment and pain. Let's breathe out worry and anxiety. Now breathing in again together, visualizing anything you need to fill your body up with and seeing the opposite come out. Let's do one more big deep breath together. Now let's have a moment of silence as we breathe things in we need for our week and breathing out things that no longer serve us in this moment. Go ahead and open your eyes. And please join in singing hymn number 123 in your gray hymnal, my favorite hymn, Spirit of Life.
Thank you.
One of our readings today is a very interesting poem by Tamsin Barley, who I understand is a friend of Casey's. An ancient sleep is breaking, the foundations of a crumbling empire begin shaking. The lost and the old come to a new and bright place. Resolutions unfold, forgiveness blooms in grace. Odd shapes and sounds being twirling and flowing, we are bringing light in. Feel your heart brightly glowing. Knocking deep in the basement of the soul, the darkness of bewilderment where once was warmth has grown cold. But a song begins to play, a light begins to weep through the doors of a broken heart. Bring life to danceless feet. Thunder explodes, expanding from above. A new world is coming, and it descends with love.
Good morning. Many of you know me, but I don't know if you know my story, so I'm going to share a little bit about that and weave it together with some inward grace. My faith journey started attending a Southern Baptist church with my uber-Christian grandmother, Lois. So my roots are fire and brimstone, submission of the wife to the husband, the devil put dinosaur bones here to make us not believe in God, and Jesus is the only way to get to heaven. I've continued to honor the most important part of my upbringing from Southern Baptist, is the potluck. My freshman year of college, a dear friend died in a car accident. Suddenly, the God that I grew up with didn't compute. The benevolent father who punished the evil and blessed the good was kind of like a square peg in a round hole. College ensued, and when my mother was diagnosed with cancer for the first time, it also bolstered the belief that there was no God. I sat that mental discussion on a shelf and traded it for a bong and a beer. 4 years later, when my mother was diagnosed with cancer for the third time in the same area called breast cancer, where there was no breast, she received all kinds of options, and she went with alternative ones. By this time, I had graduated from SIUE with a degree in mass communications, specializing in radio and TV, and I was a morning show host of a oldies radio station. I loved my job, but I hated myself and my life. I walked through the fire with my mother that year as she experienced all things alternative. Crystals, meditation, massage, coffee enemas, chiropractic, chanting, yoga, Chinese herbs, acupuncture, healing touch, visiting naturopathic doctors. Immune system building was the key. She didn't pump her own gas, she didn't use paper towels, anything she ate out of or drank out of was glass, not plastic. So any quirky thing you've heard about immune system building, she did it. She was the poster child for positive vibrations and presence. We met Wayne Dyer, we listened to Eckhart Tolle and Deepak Chopra. My mother even traveled to Brazil to meet John of God. It was during this year of rainbows that I took a Reiki class and realized that these hands have a purpose. Now, disclaimer to all the naysayers of alternative therapy, everyone's path is different, and I respect whatever that may be. This isn't a discussion or a promotion of alternative therapies. I'm just speaking of my journey. My mother died the week before Christmas, and I was lost. Attempting to do my normal spiel on the radio, hey, it's 85 degrees and it's 4:55, here's the Doobie Brothers, seemed very empty and hollow and meaningless. The relationship I was in made me realize you can't love someone enough to love themselves. And that year I also learned that you can have a deep healing and still die. 6 months after I wrote my mother's obituary, I quit my job. I broke up with aforementioned tortured soul that I thought I could fix and moved back to St. Louis, attending a Gathering Place massage school. When I walked through the doors into the open arms of the head instructor and owner and my mentor, Cindy Goodnetter, I read behind her a quote on a poster that she had written. Anyone can learn to rub sore muscles, but not everyone can learn to touch someone's heart. That is what my hope today is, my dear fellow seekers, is to touch your heart in a deeply profound way by talking about resilience, compassion, and the inward grace of our bodies. That's a good quote. I cried the first time I read it, too. I'm like, oh, I'm in the right place. So when I began my first anatomy class, I found God again. I use quotes because I know that word can be triggering to people who have spiritual abuse in their life. My feelings have shifted and are best described in a quote from a book I'm reading right now called Soul on Earth, A Guide to Living and Loving Your Human Life, written by Ruth Schwartz, as follows. Some people resonate with traditional religious terms like God, angels, or archangels. Some prefer non-religious language like the universe, source, all that is. Some feel at home with the language of shamanism, so spirit guides, helping spirits, power animals. Some coin their own terms like higher self, inner guide, guide, or guidance. Some feel most comfortable with a simple phrase like larger self. Personally, I like all of these. Although none of them feels exactly right or complete to me, language is shorthand. It cannot fully encompass reality, but gives us ways of pointing towards it. That quote from that book is why I love this church. We gather together in the mystery of the hour, asking, where do we come from? And where are we going? To me, it isn't God as I had known as a child, it's the mystery. The mystery I found in the human body and the faith that I have in its ability to heal itself. So, when preparing for this sermon today, I looked up grace on the internet. Lisa's not here, Lisa Strangeman, but I was gonna tell her I didn't do the spelling in this. When searching for it, I found this slide, and I thought it was very appropriate. To me, these three definitions all point back to the beauty and the mystery of the human body. So number one, let's just go through, love, kindness, and goodwill towards one another. Back in the late 19th century, a German scientist named George Schmorl made a remarkable discovery. Cells from a baby can hide out in a mother's body after birth. 100 years later, we are still discovering what those cells are doing. And in a study done in 2007, fetuses were shown to transmit stem cells to their mothers in order to repair cellular tissue. We come in with compassion. We are here to heal and care for one another. Number two, divine factor towards man, the underserving kindness or forgiveness of God, divine love or pardon. Do you have any idea how hard your body works to maintain homeostasis? To make sure your eyes are level with the horizon, to make sure your blood is pumping, that your lymphatic system is getting rid of waste, to make sure that all these things are happening in your body with you completely unaware of it. The things we have control of are our diet and our thoughts. And all these autonomic functions are happening constantly. A piece of liver regrows into a functional organ. You only need one kidney if you really come down to it. And if that's not forgiveness, if that's not grace, and if that's not the connection of my belief in God and the mystery, I don't know what is. Number three, of course, the physical movement of your body, the pumping of your blood, the elegance of our nervous system, and the beauty of you. Just look in a mirror. It's mind-blowing. Grace, no matter what you do or say, there's no way I don't see each and every one of you in grace with every breath and every movement that you make, every level of mobility. It's beautiful and grace-filled. You are beautiful and resilient. And I'd like to share this video from the Heart Math Institute. You know, I always come with the videos so I don't have to talk so much. So enjoy.
The importance of resilience. Most people want to have more energy at the end of the day. How much resilience we have plays a big role in that. Resilience commonly is thought of as the ability to bounce back after a challenging situation, but a newer and broader definition has emerged. HeartMath defines resilience as the capacity to prepare for, recover from, and adapt in the face of stress, adversity, or challenge. When you are resilient, not only can you bounce back faster after challenging situations, but you also have more ability to avoid getting in those situations in the first place. Now that's energy efficient. Being resilient is like having a fully charged inner battery. You have greater capacity and ability to remain calm, think clearly, and be in control of your mind and emotions. You can roll with the punches more easily and flow through challenges. like a surfer skillfully riding a big wave rather than getting wiped out. His inner poise and balance help him succeed. There are four primary areas of resilience: physical, mental, emotional, and spiritual. We expend and renew energy in each area every day. If we have low energy in one area, it can affect the others. It is the emotional area where most people drain their inner batteries unnecessarily and waste energy. You can build and sustain your resilience by learning and using energy management skills. With practice, you'll increase your resilience and have more energy reserves when you need it most, such as maintaining your cool or ability to focus when too much activity and information is coming your way too fast. In other words, the greater your resilience capacity, the greater your ability to maintain your composure and stay in charge of your emotions and actions. A more scientific term for this is self-regulation. As it turns out, there's a direct connection between what the heart is doing and our ability to self-regulate. The heart rate of a healthy, resilient person actually changes with every heartbeat. This is called heart rate variability, or HRV. HRV is influenced by our emotions. You can actually see if you're draining or renewing your energy and self-regulation capacity by looking at the pattern of HRV, your heart rhythms. Emotions such as frustration, impatience, and anxiety deplete our energy reserves and show up on a computer monitor as an irregular, disorganized HRV pattern. Scientists refer to this type of heart rhythm pattern as being incoherent, a sign that the brain and nervous system are out of sync. This is like driving a car with one foot on the accelerator and the other foot on the brake at the same time. Who would want to do that? It makes for a very jerky car ride, wastes gas, and puts extra wear and tear on a car. On the other hand, renewing emotions like appreciation, courage, and compassion create a more ordered, harmonious pattern, indicating the brain and nervous system are more in sync. Scientists call this a coherent heart rhythm. When you are in a coherent state, you are increasing your resilience and ability to manage yourself. That adds energy to your inner battery. Here's the bottom line. Scientifically speaking, when we are in a coherent state, the neural signals the heart sends to the brain improve the functioning of brain centers involved in decision-making, creativity, and how we perform. No wonder so many elite athletes, military and law enforcement personnel, and others want to get into a coherent state these days. Practicing heart math's resilience-building tools and technologies helps stop energy drain and builds up our energy reserves and resilience. It's what heart math calls intelligent energy management.
Heart math, you can check that out online. They've got a lot of exercises on there. So the state of our nation needs you at your best. We need to be focused, ready to make decisions, ready to make the world a better place. So as we continue to bob and weave through daily attacks, we must strengthen ourselves. Being angry and taking action are necessary, but don't burn yourself out. So how can we work on coherence, like they talked about? Well, the first way is to tune into your breathing. By paying attention to your breath, you are increasing your vagal tone. What's vagal tone, Casey? I know you guys didn't get a chance to look it up, so I'll tell you. If I can get this guy.
The importance of
vagal tone. It refers to the vagus nerve. The vagus nerve is the longest nerve in the body, which originates in the brain. It is cranial nerve number 10. It travels down from your neck, passes through your heart and lungs, around your digestive system, liver, spleen, and pancreas. This nerve is a major player in the parasympathetic nervous system, which is the rest and digest part, which is the opposite of the sympathetic nervous system. You may have heard of fight or flight. The tone of your vagus nerve is key to activating the parasympathetic nervous system. Vagal tone is measured by tracking your heart rate alongside your breathing rate. Your heart rate speeds up a little when you breathe in and slows down a little when you breathe out. The bigger the difference between your inhalation heart rate and your exhalation heart rate is your vagal tone. It also raises it. Higher vagal tone means your body can relax faster after stress. Talking again about that resilience. High vagal tone improves the function of many body systems. The higher the vagal tone, the more associated with better mood, less anxiety, and more stress resilience. So here are some ways to tone your vagus nerve. Number one, my favorite, slow rhythmic diaphragmatic breathing. So breathing from your diaphragm rather than the shallow part of your top of your lungs. So if you find yourself asking these tiny neck muscles and tiny chest muscles to raise up your rib cage instead of opening it from the bottom, this causes stress. It also causes this to happen. So big diaphragmatic breathing changes your life, changes the world. Humming is the other one. Since the vagus nerve is connected to your vocal cords, humming mechanically stimulates it. So you can hum a song, or even better, you can repeat Om. Meditation. Loving kindness meditation promotes feelings of goodwill towards yourself and others. And in a study done in 2010 by Barbara Fredrickson and Bethany Kick, found that increasing positive emotions led to increased social closeness and an improvement in vagal tone. Balancing the gut microbiome. The presence of healthy bacteria in your gut creates a positive feedback loop through which the vagus nerve increases its tone. And last but not least, my favorite, laughing and smiling. Smiling doesn't just increase your face value, it also raises your vagal tone. You are a beautiful skin sack, all of you. Never let anybody tell you different. I appreciate your attention today. You are valuable, you matter, and we need you to make this world a better place. Now, Lauren, would you like to join us? Lauren's gonna give us some special music before we do our benediction.
This life will make you wonder.
much, Lauren. That was a song from my favorite artist, Amy Steinberg, that Lauren learned this week just for us. So thank you so much. That was beautiful. Our closing words and benediction are adapted from Ma Teresa Castillo Gallardo. Ultimate grace, the heart of every matter, in every perfection and imperfection, in all senses and tenses, in moments of every right and wrong, presenting choices to inquiring hearts. You are in the purpose and the journey of mishaps. You are in moments of understanding and misunderstanding. We have but to seek and invoke you and enable the work of your spirit. As prayer is but an articulated common dream, we invoke our ultimate concern for the work of faith. We long to be hand in hand, creating a world where everyone belongs. Free us from our hindrances. Make invisible things visible, the voiceless heard. Lay what is hidden before us. Make the chain unbound, the doubting believe. What is confusing, let clarify. As hardened hearts grow soft to the touch, may we come in fullness with gratefulness and faithfulness to one another. May we speak in kind, conversing, disclosing our truths with care, expressing our practical wisdom to learn of its practical limits. For the world was not meant to be possessed by a singular truth, but to be built together upon revelations. May our eyes seek to appreciate, our breaths to dedicate power, our hands to warm each other. When loving fearlessly, we are invincible. When free will is deliberate, we are pivotal. When dreaming together, we are infinite. Remind us of the very questions that we have turned away from, that we thought could be answered, could not be answered, or impossible to realize. Dear universal intelligence, your embrace contains everything but confines nothing. In the ever instance of existence, may this one moment count. And so it is. As we extinguish our chalice today, we do not extinguish the peace, love, and compassion deep in our hearts. May this community be a weekly reminder of your inherent dignity and worth, your kindness, and your importance of your voice and your power to hold a space of peace, even if just for a moment, in this place. Here's a little more Amy Steinberg.
Because I love her.
Thank you so much. And with this service, may our work really begin. The end of this service. Thank you.
So not till the pig's off.
You can get up if you want to. And dance.
Run, don't walk. Scream, don't talk. Soar, don't fly. Do, don't try. Be, don't act. Dream, don't fact. Swim, don't sink. Imagine, don't think. Love, don't hate. Go, don't wait. Listen, don't hear. And jump, jump, don't fear. Is everything, and a little bit is really a lot. With different angling of the head of the eye, with the light from the sky, there's no difference in difference, there's no similar in similar, just perspective and distance, together with who you are today, right now. There's no point in discussing tomorrow, because tomorrow is an assumption. If everything is nothing, then nothing is everything, and right now is really all that's important, it seems. And dreams come in all shapes and sizes, whether you're awake or sleeping soundly on your flatbed on this brown planet in the night with the leftover light of the stars watching out over us. Twinkle, twinkle, little star, how wonderful. Everything is one, all is all, moving and grooving to the same moving wall of sights and sounds. Look a, look a, look a, look a, look around. I'm looking up, staying grounded, straight ahead while being rounded, together as one. Look up to the one in the mirror who fills our cup, because God is a part of you. It's not a steeple or a people or a place to get to. God is in the air. It's not a throttle or a bottle or a thought that you wear. No. Break it down real easy. This is how it is. You get born in